The tour content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions.
Okay, last Tehillim of the season. Last night of the season, too. So we have a twofold goal. Our main goal is to finish learning the cluster of the Aleph Pesukim, namely 5 through 8, and then unifying the entire thing. Okay, if we complete that mission, then we will look at the entire thing again through the lens of tier 2, which is the approach that we took where, or we didn't take it yet, but where we said that he's not using the terms, he is using the terms interchangeably to a certain extent, but he did pick certain terms to bring out nuances. So we'll try to figure out those nuances. And I think that's as far as we're going to get. And Rabbi Feder graciously gave us 15 extra minutes because Marv's at 9:10 anyway. So that'll be good. That gives us a buffer zone. Okay. So let's review the psukim and then review the ideas and then go forward. All right. Ashrei tmimei darach halachim b'dorei Hashem. Praiseworthy, happy, eudaimonious are those whose way is whole or without blemish who follow the Torah of Hashem. Ashrei notre edosa b'chol levi yudreshuhu. Praiseworthy or happy are those who preserve his testimonies. With their entire heart they seek him, capital H. Af lo falo avla b'drachav halachu. Even or certainly or also they have not done injustice. In his ways they have walked, also capital H. Four is atat tzivisa fikudecha lishmor ma'od. You commanded your precepts to guard exceedingly. Five, achalai, I beseech you, or if only, yikonu derachai, that my ways be made firm or readied, lishmor chukecha, to guard your statutes. Six, azlo ibosh babidi alko mitzvosacha, then I will not be ashamed when I gaze upon all your mitzvos. Oh, side quest also, okay, which is, even though I did this 2 years ago at the beginning of the year, I don't remember anything about that, but if we can, now that we're going to have the whole, hopefully the whole cluster, if we can comment on why the Rambam chooses this as the opening pasuk for the Mishnah Torah, that'd be really nice. Seven, Odecha b'yosha leva b'lamdi mishpatei tivkecha. I will thank you or praise you or acknowledge you with uprightness of heart when I learn the judgments of your righteousness. And then eschukecha eshmor, your statutes I will guard. Al tazveni ad ma'od, do not abandon me exceedingly. Okay.
But we did give a reason for that possible.
For Oslo Yevosh?
Yeah.
It's possible we did. I mean, we'll give a basic reason, yeah. But I'm saying, I don't think that was in light of the entire idea of the whole thing, which may not be. Maybe it's just the small thing. Yeah. We'll review the reason for the particular thing when we get to there. Okay, so reviewing the ideas we had last time. So I remember my ideas because I took notes on them. but feel free to jump in with your ideas or other approaches that we were developing. So Asha, so we said that this is a hierarchy of like goals within the mitzvos. Maybe a pyramid would be a better scheme. Not pyramid scheme, sorry, pyramid would be a better imagery, yeah, diagram. Okay, so Ashrei Tamimei Darach, Tamim meaning free from blemish, and then in their path, and Holchim B'Torah Hashem. We said that this is referring to keeping halacha, or what the Avraham Ben Rambam calls the Derech Ha'am, which is keeping the mitzvos. And Tamimei Darach is Los Aseis, because that keeps your path free of blemishes, and then walking or following is mitzvos aseh. Okay, level 2, Ashrei notre edosav b'chol lev yidreshuhu. Praiseworthy or happy are those who guard your mitzvos. And here, guarding is like I borrowed from the Meiri elsewhere, what he says is you understand the reasons so much that it's as if the intellect mandates them. It's like so crystal clear to you that this is a beneficial thing, that's what's driving you to do it. So there, that is knowing what the tamei mitzvos are and then keeping the mitzvos as a means to those to achieve those objectives. And yeah, granted, we cannot perfectly know all the reasons for all the mitzvos, but it's a, approximate the ideal. But that's not even, so that's what the Avraham Ben Rambam calls the derech hayachid, where you're keeping the mitzvos to keep for the sake of their reasons. Last time I went through the example of Shabbos, but I want to give another example this time, because I think this is another handy example to have. So the Rambam in Hilchos Deos, chapter 3, talks about not going to the extremes, and then also talks about doing all your actions as a means of Yedias Hashem, which is, this is so slow, and the spelling mikvot in PHP needs to be updated to match standard mikvaot. Yeah, oh, interesting. Yeah, David?
Yeah, just already a thought from, I know something, and probably you're going to hit this when we start reviewing, but talking about like looking at Mitzvot and knowing that that's a good and looking to attach yourself to that.
Yeah.
It just occurred to me now as you're giving this recap that not only going ahead and doing the Mitzvot, but also understanding the Mitzvot would then be part of that. And at the very least to me, I hadn't put two and two together with that.
So. Yeah. Yeah. So we are, I think the way I'm learning it right now, I'm open to the modification, is I'm making a clean division between one, Pasuk Aleph is doing the mitzvos, two is understanding the reasons, and then the second half of two, which I didn't say yet, I realized, is not, you're not just doing it for the reasons, you're doing it for the reasons as a means towards Yedias Hashem, which is the ultimate purpose of the mitzvos, which I will show from the Rambam in a second. But yeah, first, I don't know if it's tomorrow, Isaiah.
No, you. I was asking if what you had said before was only the first half of the pasuk or both halves. No, I understand.
Okay, yeah. All right, good. So let me read it in the Rambam. So this is in the Rambam in Hillel's Deos chapter 3. And our computer is extra slow tonight. Where does he begin it? He says, oh, I guess I highlighted this because I guess it's important. Person needs to orient all of his actions to know Hashem alone. Meaning just for the sake of knowing Hashem. And his sitting and standing and speech should all be for that purpose. Okay, so then he gives an example, and he gives a bunch of examples. I'm going to actually go through another example. Okay, whatever. I'll read through it. It's good review. Ketzad, how so? Kishiyisav yitain, when he does business, o yasim malacha litol sahar, or he does work to get a payment. Lo yehi believable kibbutz mamon bilvad, he shouldn't have in mind only the accumulation of money. That's the lowest level of perfection. Ela yase devarim ha'ilu kidei shiyimsa devarim shaguf tzarech lehem me'achilu shasiyav yeshivas bayis and siyas isha. He should have in mind to get enough to find his needs, that his body needs, in eating, drinking, settling a house, you know, you got to settle that house, and marrying a wife. This is the example I wanted. When he eats and drinks and has bia, lo yasim al libo lasos tibarim halal l'kdei lehanos bilvad, he shouldn't do these things in order to derive enjoyment alone. Ad shenimsa she'eno ochel v'shosa el hamachtok l'cheich, to the point where he only eats and drinks what's sweet to the palate. V'yivol k'dei lehanos, and he has bia, it's for enjoyment. El yasim al libo shiyocha v'yishtek k'dei lehavros gufo v'evarav bilvad. He should set his intention to eat and drink to make his body healthy and his limbs healthy alone. Therefore, he shouldn't eat whatever the palate desires, like a dog or a donkey. He should eat things that are beneficial to him, whether they're bitter or sweet. He shouldn't eat unhealthy things, even though they're sweet to the palate. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And then he gives some examples here. Okay. Let's go on, because then he goes into Bia. Okay. Then he says, but that's not all. Don't just eat healthy. He says, Hamani asma al piha refua. If you conduct yourself based on health, im sam alibushi kol gufo ve'evrav shlemi v'chazakim bilvad. If your only intent is that your limbs should be strong, your body and limbs should be strong. Vishiyulo banim osim malato, and you should have sons who do your work. Va'amelim letzarcha, and toil in your for your needs. Enzo derech tova. That's not good. So that would be the second perfection. Sorry, well, I guess the fourth perfection and the third perfection. Perfection of possessions, which in this case, I guess, having kids taking care of your stuff, and the third perfection is perfection of the body. I'm going like in. Yeah, I'm saying it in a different order than before. The in fourth place. In third place, yeah. Yeah.
So third place is the bottom.
Right. Ella Yasim Aliboshi He Guvo Shalim Chazak Kadeshitiye Nafsho Yeshara Ladas as Hashem. Rather, your body should be complete and strong so that your soul could be straight to know Hashem. It is impossible for a person to understand and contemplate chachmos when he's sick, or when one of his limbs is ailing him. And he should have an intent to have a son who maybe will turn out to be a chacham and a gadol. Okay, and then he also do the summary here. Nimsa hamahalach b'derech zo kol yamav Kulan Ovid Es Hashem Tamid, a person constantly, someone who follows this path all of his days. Ovid Es Hashem Tamid, serves Hashem constantly. Afilu B'Shah Shanos Devinosein, even at the time when he's doing business. Afilu B'Shah Shaboil, even when he's having Bia. Mipnei Shemachashavta B'Kol Kedei Shimtza Terachav Achi Gufo Shalem La'avod Hashem, because his intent and everything is that he should find his needs so that his body will be intact to serve Hashem. Afilu B'Shah Shehu Yashin, even when he's asleep, when he sleeps. Im Yashin Ladas Kedei Shetenuach Dato Alav, if he sleeps with the intention to rest his mind, yinuch gufo, and rest his body, kadesh lo yechala, so he doesn't get sick, v'yuchal avod Hashem v'hu chole, and he can't serve Hashem when he's sick, nimses shena shelo avod l'makom v'orachu. Turns out his sleep will be a service to God. Blessed is he. Al inyan zed tivu v'chachamim v'amru, this is what the chachamim commanded and said, v'chol ma'asecha yu l'shem shemayim, all of your actions should be for the sake of heaven, v'hu she'amar shlomo v'chachmaso, this is what Shlomo said in his wisdom, v'chol derechacha da'ihu, v'hu yiyarsha erchosecha. In all your ways, know him, and he will straighten your paths. So, kashrus, okay? Lowest level of keeping kashrus is following halakha, okay? But you got one guy who keeps kosher, but then pigs out and overeats and doesn't care about health, okay? Then you got a second guy who realizes, okay, well, one of the objectives of kashrus is not being an animal, right? And mind over matter, kedusha, transcending your animalistic desires. So he uses kashrus and exercises self-control. Okay, but his self-control is just in terms of pleasure and not just eating whatever he likes, but he's not yet acting based on health. Then you got a third guy who keeps kosher, exercises self-control, and conducts himself al pi harufua and eats healthy foods, okay, to make his body strong. But then that guy is not the highest level. The final guy is the guy who views health, kashrus as a means of self-control, which is a means of health, which is a means of seeking knowledge of God. Okay. So that's the person who our pasuk is talking about, who is notzer the mitzvos, which means he keeps them for their reasons, but b'chol lev yidrashuhu, but devotes all of his energy to seeking God, which is the purpose of all the mitzvos. Okay, so that's pasuk two. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then pasuk three. Oh no. The first half of pasuk three. Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah, here we go. Okay. So Yeah. I will see if I'm happy with it this time, but
That was
the first half was the hard one. Af lo falu avla, not only does he not do injustice, but bidrachav halachu, he walks in his ways. So on the surface, it sounds like a redundancy because we already said he walks on the path of the Torah of Hashem. But so this must be some sort of other ways. And that's when we said, haskil v'yodo osi, knowing and understanding me, she'ani Hashem ose mishpat, chesed mishpat utzak ba'aretz. So knowing God, that he is the one who does kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth, because that's what he desires, which means that your knowledge should not just be a theoretical knowledge, it should actually spill over to emulating God in doing those positive things and not doing the negative things. And that's the highest level. Okay. Yeah. All right. That worked out, right? And then four is he summarizes it by saying, Atat Sivisa Fikudecha, you, God, commanded your mitzvos, Lishmur Ma'od, to guard exceedingly, which means that this is not just something that you can do that's extra. This is why God gave us mitzvos. Right. So this represents the highest level of Torah and mitzvos. And we said that the entire parak was really about David. It's actually good we went over the sick example because the Rashbam said that this is, David said this when he was sick, but Plain Shot, Meiri, Sforno just said that this is David saying how he yearns to be able to keep and learn Torah and mitzvos without any impediments. And Sforno said to do that on a national level also. So that is a review of the first half. Any questions about that? I think that was a good review. Okay, that actually succeeded. Sometimes, you know, you review and everything falls apart.
Yeah.
Okay, good. That worked. I was nervous. Okay. All right. But if it falls apart later, feel free to tell me about it. All right. Now we get to our new psukim, new in terms of working on. Achalai yikonu dura. Oh, so, okay. First of all, we said the divide is 1 through 4, he's stating the ideal, like what the mitzvos in the Torah are. 5 through 8, he's stating his desires and talking about himself. So achalai yikonu durachai lishmor chukecha. I yearn, or I hope, or would that it were, that my paths be made ready or firm to keep your chukim. So on the surface, you know, like this is obvious, as Ariel would say. Okay, right? Like, of course he wants this, right? So what's the chiddush? Secondly, I think there is, if you take this like at, not face value, if you take it bluntly, how can God help you keep the mitzvos?
Right.
That's Bechira. right? Okay, yeah. I think I'm just setting it up. You know, okay, you got to paint the target so you can shoot it. And then what does he mean by yikonu durachai, readying my ways? And is ways, I mean, this is the third time we've seen the word ways. Tmimi darach, bidrachav, and then this is his drachim, which actually this is probably the parallel to this, right? Because one is stating the ideal, two is stating his relation to the ideal. All right, so what do you say for that?
What was the first question?
First question was...
Isn't it obvious?
Isn't it obvious, yeah.
Right. So I think that combined with the second question you asked, which is how does God help you with this?
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe even like all three of them can kind of be subsumed into like this, just like a general idea of tefillah.
Right.
It's like recognizing what he wants and then putting it into that framework. And then once he has that, then he's going to be able to actualize that himself. Meaning, when you ask God to help you with something, like at least in the way that I understand tefillah, is you're basically recognizing that you want this, and then there are ways to get this, so you can get it once you recognize what you want.
Right, but you're asking God for this, though. So
yeah, but God's not going to go, okay, granted, he's going to, you know, by putting yourself in the framework of this is what I want, then you're able to like see the way to get it.
Well, that certainly is one level of tefillah, but are you saying that God doesn't respond to our tefillahs?
I guess he's coming around.
Okay. I mean, that's my question. What is he asking God to do? Yeah, tomorrow or Isaiah?
I mean, isn't this actually to go against what you asked? Like, isn't this totally not obvious? Because he should just choose to guard the statutes. He just shouldn't ask God to make the way firm so that he can end up guarding the statutes. Like, that's his own decision.
Right. Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah, that complements my other question about Bechira, right? Like, this is entirely in David's hands. Right.
Right.
But there could be situations that are more set up for Klal Yisrael as a nation, right? If you're really asking on a national level, everyone is on such a high level. So you could ask, oh, please make it so that people are in a situation where they could be easily Bechir Latov.
Okay.
Right.
So, first of all, four responses to that. Okay. First is ding, ding, ding. You used the right word setup, which I'm going to return to. Second is you said that if this is on a national level, not everyone has this situation where they could actualize their Bechira. So on a national level, then, you know, it makes sense for him to ask about this. Then I have an objection to that, which is he's saying my ways, and this is all singular, but then I think you can answer my objection.
Yeah, said last week, we read, I don't remember who exactly but we read that there's two ways to read this whole thing, which is either from the personal or his perspective of the Amen Galus.
I think you're thinking of Shira Malos, but that move can be made here also, which is how I was going to answer it.
Uh-huh.
Sforno did say that he was asking for the nation, but he didn't say that he was asking like substituting himself for it. But we saw that a lot though with Shira Malos, though, uh-huh. So it's a good move. That's what I was going to say. Okay, good. So I'm actually going to take this and run with it. Okay, unless anyone else wants to say something first, because that's how I understood it also. Okay, so. We didn't do this recently, except maybe tomorrow. Where did this come up? Oh, yeah, this is a shir I gave. This is the metaphysical implications of stubbing your toe shir, where we examine the pasuk of, which I hope to give as a Sunday shir next year.
Okay.
Yeah. Tehillim Lamed Zayin Chaf Gimel, Mehashem Mitzade Gaver Konanu V'Darko Yechpats. From Hashem, the footsteps of man are readied or set up, to use Yosef's word, the darko yechpat, and his way he desires. So that is a thing that, like, you know, yeah, your bechira is in your hands, but circumstances need to be right in order for your bechira to be actualized in the way that you seek, you know? So let's take Rabbi Akiva, which is the easy example. Rabbi Akiva wants to learn Torah, but very hard to do if, like, your flesh is being combed and you're being killed, right? And you're Rabbi Akiva, yeah. Unless you're Rabbi Akiva, yeah. Well, he's not going to be able to learn anymore, though, right? Okay, yeah, right. Fine, great. Okay, fine, dilute the example, fine. Yeah, no, but on a more relatable example, like, you know, you might want to be involved in learning a mitzvos, but, like, you have certain you know, financial needs that you have. And like, you know, those need to be in place in order to be able to like, you know, have the yeshiva das or like the material needs to learn, you know? That's one thing. And then if you want to go one step, oh, and I saw this funny thing, by the way, I don't know if this is, you never know if French translations of Rashi French are good, but this one was so like the terms we would use that I was amused by it. Mitzade Gaver, he who's mighty in fear of the Holy One, blessed is he. Le pas du four, whatever in French, the steps of the strong one, and then are established. What does it mean in French? Are prepared for reality. I don't know. I don't know how to say reality in French. I was like, oh yeah, you got to prepare for reality. It's pretty good. I think it's actually funny. The footnote on something refers to the Otzer of the laws. Yeah, we could check if we want to. Okay, but let me borrow a Sforno from later on in the Perek, who I think says it in terms that are closest to my question to Yosef's answer, which is Sforno on that last pasuk of Es Chukecha Eshmor Al Tazvini Ad Ma'od. Your chukim I will keep. Don't abandon me exceedingly. So he says like this: Es Chukecha Eshmor B'cholei. Your chukim I will keep with all my heart. Az Al Tazvini Ad Ma'od. Then do not abandon me entirely. Even though fear of God is not in your hands, God, Shekavar, scroll, Nasan HaBechira, because you gave Bechira, and the footnote conveniently quotes that Gemara, Al Tazvein Mi Kovakol, do not entirely abandon me, Aval Tein Eze Ezer Vahataya Lahatos Levavi Elacha, but give a certain assistance and inclination to incline my heart towards you. So this is just like a nuance within the idea, which is there are two things he could be asking for, let me back up for a second. The whole first four psukim show that David Melch does value these things. Okay. That much is clear. However, circumstances need to be right for him to implement this. And his bechira is not always going to be so clear. Like you have your certain values, but then when you are overwhelmed and overstressed by like, you know, life or school or work or whatever, your values might recede to the background and your bechira you won't be able to be bocher in line with your true values. Mm-hmm. So David Melch, so I was interpreting Pasuk 5 as saying, David is asking for Hashem's hashgacha in reality to set things up in a way and to intervene because we hold that God intervenes. Okay, we don't hold everything is just, that tefillah is just like an exercise in self-motivation, you know. you can blame me for not giving the rest of the Rama Maharsh Gachashir if you want. Okay. what do you call? So that's one thing you're asking for is for God to prepare your steps. That's like in the Tillim that we didn't do in Shir Amos. Im Hashem lo yivne bayis shav am lebonav bo. If Hashem doesn't build a house, then the builders are working in vain. You know, meaning you could have a certain vision of building a house, but if like if there's a sinkhole underneath it, or if there's like just because it sinks.
That was like Rashi brings up the house.
Right.
It was like on marshland.
Yeah, right, right. Or if there's a storm and it knocks down your building, so then like you could do all you want, but that's not going to help. You need external factors that are not in your control. And then the second level is you need help even being bochur b'tov. That's like what we say in Shemona Esrei, based on Eicha, Hashivinu Hashem Elecha v'Nashuva. So the question is, how could you ask God to help you do tshuva? That's entirely in your bechira. Answer is that certain circumstances lend themselves to you recognizing that you need to do tshuva, and other circumstances will make you oblivious to that or like make it harder. Yeah.
Is it also possible? I mean, like just to get within the mechanism that we're talking about, can we say that that could be referring to the four steps that we're talking about before.
Okay, that's good.
The levels of perfection. What's happening, and I guess is like how it's happening. These are my drachim that I'm beseeching you, God, to help me like be made ready.
Yeah.
So that I can get to that level of the fourth puzzle.
Okay, that's good. Also, right. Yeah, that makes a tighter tie between the two halves.
Yeah.
Okay. So if we're good with that? All right, number six. Oz lo ibosh babi del komit vasacha. Then I will not be ashamed when I look upon all your mitzvos. So almost all the mafarshim, if not all of them, say similarly, which we're going to read just to get what they say. And either you're going to be happy with it, or you're going to be dissatisfied like me, and you're going to want something else.
Oh, no.
So like, let's look at the Radak. Oh, sorry. You want? Let me just look at the Radak. Radak actually on the previous one supports my interpretation. Achalai tachinusai ubakashasi lefanacha. My supplication and my request before you, shikona derachai, is that you establish my ways. Lishmor chukacha, to keep your statutes. Kolomar shelo yatri deni esek miiske haolam. Nothing should preoccupy me of the worldly involvements. Shelo uchal lishmor chukacha, which would prevent me from keeping your chukim. Ze ani mavakesh mimcha. This is what I'm asking from you. Shetish mereni mitirdas haolam, that you protect me from the preoccupations of the world. Kadesh emta libi vaatzmi panui lishmor chukacha. Yeah, this is very close to what I was saying.
Or, that's
right.
That sounds like
getting rid of the
impediments,
money, and body. Right, practical impediments. Yeah. Whereas the sforno on that last one sounds more like what Yosef was saying about your bechira, unless actualizing bechira meant what I was saying. But I'm going to attribute a different, say it's a different idea. Okay. Oslo Evosh. So here's what a lot of people say. Kimish eno shomer hamitzvos, someone who doesn't keep the mitzvos, roi lo sheyevosh kishyabit v'mitzvos haksuvos. It would be fitting for him to be ashamed when he looks at the written mitzvos. Ki'im hu ganav, if he is a thief, v'yabi b'sefer v'yire lo tignov, v'emes yevosh v'yichalim. And he sees in the book, don't steal, he's going to be ashamed and embarrassed.
Oh, yes, this is Davar Melech, the guy who's...
I know, right? That's one of my problems with it. Okay, or let's say Mitzvus David says similarly, kishayu drachai nechonim, when my ways are set, az lo evosh b'habiti al kum mitzvusacha, then I will not be ashamed when I look at all your mitzvos. So a lot of the Mepharshim say that. So two problems I have with this. Number one, what you just said, which is, you know, David is not like, David might not be perfect, but he's not like an Avarian. Like, I think, you know, any king who is righteous is compared to righteous like David. You know, Mashiach, in order to be Mashiach, has to be as righteous as David. David is like the golden standard of like righteous citizen, you know? So like, I don't want to say that, like, I want to be able to like look at a mitzvah without being ashamed for David. Okay. Like on a simple level. Secondly, Oz connects the two.
Yeah.
And you saw that Mitzvah's David acknowledged that. So if we're interpreting five as asking for God to prepare his ways to keep the mitzvahs, I just want to be able to account for why it says, then I will not be ashamed when I look at all your mitzvahs. And then number three, you know, why does he focus on looking at the mitzvahs? I mean, the Mepharshim explain it adequately that when you look at the mitzvah and you see you're not keeping it, you're ashamed. But like, why even frame it that way in the first place, like looking at the mitzvahs? Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, I'll just say in isolation, the way that the Mitzvus David and Radak explain the pasuk works for why the Rambam uses it as opening pasuk, because he's teaching about all the mitzvos. But I want to see if we can get something more from that. Yeah, Tamar or Isaiah.
Is it possible to say that the not keeping the mitzvos in this pasuk is like the not keeping the mitzvos of pasuk three? Like he's or pasuk four, like he's not completely keeping the mitzvos in the way they were actually committed to be kept.
Okay, good. All right. So that I think is the most direct answer, which fits into the words, because he uses the word lishmor in five. So he's saying that the shmira, the way we define it, which is understanding the reasons for the mitzvos and keeping them as a vehicle of yedias Hashem, which will culminate in halakta bedrachav, that is a lofty goal that David is working towards, and he wants God's assistance in that. And only with divine assistance will he be able to do that, which I think is an interesting thing that, you know, without divine assistance, I'm going to say this, even though it's like going out on a limb, maybe, you don't want to say it. I don't see why you couldn't keep halacha without divine assistance. You know, like the mitzvah is a, like if the only way to keep halacha was with divine assistance, it'd be a weird system that you need level one of just like keeping the mitzvahs.
I don't think that's what he's saying, though.
No, that's what I'm saying. So if it were just that, then it wouldn't make sense that he needs divine help. Right. But if you're talking about truly perfecting yourself with the mitzvos, yeah, then you need divine help, and then he could say that that's what he's looking for.
Which would always be the lishmor mode, right?
That's lishmor mode, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah, David.
Okay, a side methodology question.
Mm-hmm.
Where you were saying, I think it was with the Mitzvot David, that he had an interpretation that you didn't like, and within what you didn't like was, within what he had mentioned was something that you thought was like a question to lodge against him. So how do you go about like understanding or trying to understand a Perush when that type of thing happens, where I'm assuming then by the fact that he's raising or he brought in the thing that, I forgot exactly which words he had said that you were asking, yeah, a question on. So I would assume that he has like thought that question, and he presumably then will have like an answer or something to that question. So how do you go about learning that?
So I came up with terms for this in a Mishle year or earlier this year. Do you remember we had anyone who was there in Mishle? There was the salad bar approach and then the something approach. Do you remember this? Someone came up with, you remember?
I remember it happening.
Salad method and, man. I know, you know what?
Salad is when you grab a little bit from.
Yeah, a little bit from each one, and you make a salad. And then what was the other? There was another option.
Soup.
No.
Super salad.
Give me one second. I actually really do want to find this. I think I actually might have incorporated it into the title because I liked it so much. I'm just going to skim the titles of my Mishle Shirim. I know I put it in the show notes, but it's going to take too long to go through all the show notes. Okay, Ken Atzmar Hashem was before Pesach, and I think, oh, actually, did this happen before Pesach? Okay, maybe. Wow, these titles are appealing. I'm like, I want to listen to this year because I forgot the idea. Okay, fine, I can't find it. Ugh, too bad. Okay. Whatever. So I'll just state it then. There are two approaches to learning Mefarshim. Okay, and this goes for everything. One is you read the Mefarish in order to try to understand how he is learning the pasuk. Okay. The other is that you are trying to learn the pasuk and you're gleaning whatever is useful from the Mefarshim. Okay. The first approach lends itself much more to an Iyun approach, because you really have to scrutinize and exercise Emunas Chachamim of saying exactly what you said, which is, if he saw this question, then he's greater Chacham than I am, so presumably he has an answer, and then you like work at trying to find that answer. You know, that is a certain mode that you're in. The other mode is when you're just intent on trying to work it out on your own. And like, you're not going to spend as much time delving into the Mefarshim. You're going to acknowledge that, okay, fine, I'm sure he has an answer for this, but like, I have a certain like approach that I'm trying to find, and I'm just going to use whatever I find in my way to get it. You know, if you had infinite time, of course you do the first approach in order to facilitate the second approach, but we don't have infinite time. So you have to know what you're doing. And yeah, if you are trying the first approach and then you dismiss this and say, oh, it's an obvious question, then you're the doofus. Yeah.
On the second approach,
yeah.
I guess a methodology point. At which point would you say none of the Mefarshim are saying anything close to what I'm saying, so I'm going to throw it out?
So first of all, depending on the subject matter, then if none of the Mefarshim are saying what you're saying, it doesn't mean that you necessarily throw it out. Like, I would say that if you're learning halacha, and that's the case, then chances are you got to throw it out. Like, if you're reading a Gemara in a way, just reading it in a way that no one else is reading it, chances are you're making a mistake. Okay. Gemara is a very technical field and a much more abstract science. And so chances are you're making a mistake. Something like Mishle, you know, where you see just from our day-to-day Mishle experience, the Mefarshim have radically different approaches. And like, there's a lot of room for different ideas there. Like, it's possible that aim based midrash below chiddush, and maybe you got it, you know, unless you see that you're making a mistake, you know. So, and then something like this, you know, I'm not sure. So, Yeah, it's a matter, it's a combination of your own intuition and also your knowledge of the subject matter and your intellectual humility and the need to like check it. Yeah. Okay. So I think that works out, right? That he's saying, oh, why Busha? Why Busha? Right? That's another question we didn't ask.
Oh, I guess you could say because he's boosting up this like lofty level of
boosting.
of guarding exceedingly.
Yeah.
And then he's not making that criteria. So criteria, I don't know. So it would be like he'd feel ashamed if he was like, this is the ideal, this is what I know, and these are ways to get there, but I'm not there. Like,
right.
He'd be like, I want to be there, and then as long as I'm not there. Well, I don't know if that's such a good mindset, but...
right, so it sounds a little unhealthy. Yeah. yeah, right. So, you could say that it is just falling short of the ideal, okay? I have a slightly different approach, which I think, like, patches up that thing. Anyone else have an idea? So I think maybe it's really stemming from the fact that this is the purpose of mitzvos. So, like, if you're not... Like, if you're living this life of mitzvahs and you're not fulfilling the purpose of a mitzvah, like, then what are you doing? Like if you're, you know, what would be an example of this? I don't know. Like, if you cook a bunch of food and then you just, like, throw it in the garbage, right? So then, like, you should be ashamed because the purpose of food is to eat, not to throw away, you know? So if you're doing all these mitzvahs, but you're not, like, achieving the purpose of the mitzvahs, then like, you're not like, what are you doing? You know, that's like, worth. So in other words, it's not that you're failing to meet a lofty ideal. It's that you're not getting the basic. Yeah.
So I have a bit of a different way of looking at it.
Sure.
This is based on Roy Zimmer's super ego share.
Okay.
Is that if he knows everything from 1 through 4, and then he's readied and firmed by God in 5.
Yeah.
And he still falls short of making that perfect like we were doing that, we're being a yon of like,
yeah,
like 30, you can make 30 bushels or whatever from,
yeah,
this field, but like factually due to your circumstances, you can only make 5,
mm-hmm,
right? And he makes 5, then the fact that he knows that he was aligned with like with doing his best and knowing that, and even still he's not gonna be as great as Moshe, like from like a point to point, you know, like a one,
yeah,
to a 1-to-1 ratio,
yeah,
then he won't be ashamed. He'll say,
right, I have done my best.
Yeah, exactly.
And yeah, exactly.
And he could actually say that.
Okay, that's good.
He was ready, he was firm,
right?
He did all these things, he did everything he could do, and he still didn't make it to the
right
to the nth degree, but he knows that like I'm human,
yeah,
and I did the best that I could, and now I'm not ashamed.
Okay, good, right. And then the converse of that, which you said, I'm just gonna restate, mm-hmm, is like if you did not attempt to keep all of halacha, you know, according to halacha, and seek knowledge of God, and like,
right,
you know, emulate God's ways, and be mispalat to God to help set you up, then that is a cause of busha.
Right.
Yeah,
and that's us, right? Us is if I did all these things, then even if I don't make it, right? Because that's the halakha.
Right.
The halakha is that you should be ashamed.
Right.
Right. I fell short.
Right.
But he says, no, I did all these things. I,
yeah,
did the best I could. Us, I'm not.
Okay, that's good. Much. I like that the best. Yeah. Okay, good. All right, good. We got that. Okay. 7. Odecha b'yosha leva b'lamdi mishpatei tzidkacha. I will thank you or praise you or acknowledge you. Yeah, David?
Yeah, just one other thought on shame. And I was also just saying like that particular term. And I was thinking that shame has a lot of when you're doing something and you can't formulate or answer why you are doing that thing.
Yeah.
And it sounds like, at least to Haim's point, then like particularly like whether or not you've gotten to like the nth degree, but at the very least, like, you know where you're going, you know what you're doing, whether or not you've accomplished everything. It's not like, and I have accomplished all your mitzvot, but I'm not embarrassed.
Right.
That way.
Okay, that's good. That's a good, good add-on point. Yeah. Yeah.
And on that point, if this, when I gaze upon your mitzvot, right, he's looking at it from afar. He's like,
yeah,
I know what the ideal is.
Yeah.
I'm not there doing them.
Right.
And then it just ties into the whole idea.
Okay, good, good. Yeah, I think that's a good shot. Yeah. All right. Oh, we have to write this down at the end.
Okay.
All right. Odecha b'yosha leva b'lamdi mishpatei tzidkacha. I will thank you or praise you or acknowledge you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous mitzvos. Yeah, that seems like a non sequitur. So I think, and I'm not saying the idea yet, but I think there is an implied like, okay, well, I guess there's two ways to take it. Either this is continuing to be sequential,
yeah,
and that there's like an implied Oz, right? That once he gets to this level, then he'll thank God. Or this is a second point that he's doing simultaneously with his approach. Like, as I approach all this, I am thanking you with an upright heart when I learn Mishpatei Tzidkacha. Ooh, I got a clue. All right, I won't say it yet. Yeah. Yes, what is he saying here?
I should say, I will.
What was that?
It's in future tense. It's not like all the others.
Right. Although, well, Evosh is in future also.
Yeah, but that's because it's talking about a potential.
Right. Yeah, tomorrow, Isaiah?
Have an approach to maybe what it's saying?
Sure.
Maybe like, so Odecha B'Yosher means like he'll, instead of now when he gives thanks to Hashem, the thanks is like a marred thanks. It's flawed because he doesn't have the right ideas of Hashem.
Ah, okay.
And therefore he is like, I guess his emotions aren't in the right place towards Hashem.
Right.
And in the future, if Hashem helps him in this way, then he'll be able to thank Hashem, like in the actual true thanking that I guess a person could do.
Okay, good. So let me just restate that and then add a Ryan and a Kwanyu. Is that since the whole end goal of this is really Yedias Hashem, obviously it's Yedias Hashem that culminates in Halacha Bedracha, and since our praise has to be based on your Yedias Hashem, then by definition you cannot have your praise and thanks of Hashem is going to be lacking insofar as you're lacking in your knowledge of Hashem. There was one, Rabbi Moskowitz always quotes one of the Gaonim, and again, since Rabbi Moskowitz never remembers his sources, then I can't trust who it was. It was either Rav Hai Gaon or Rav, who's the other Ches, Rabbi Hananel, one of the two, I think, who would do teshuva every day for, the way Rabbi Moskowitz expresses it, do tshuva every day for avodah zarah, because each day he would learn more about Hashem and realize that the being, you know, who he was davening to was like a distortion. You know, I don't know if that's actually an accurate thing, but it reminds me of this: is that yeah, you have to, you're going to be constantly increasing your ability to give hodah to God as you fulfill the program. Yeah, what were you going to say, Fenn?
I was going to try to flow Zion in line with Vav.
Okay.
And that, like, even that. Right, so the Havmina is going to say that either, I want to say the Havmina is that he might praise him, but not with this Yosher Levav.
Yeah.
Right? Because he's going to still feel that, like, ping of, like, I'm not there and I'm not doing it to the nth degree.
Mm-hmm.
To quote myself from before. and yet Mishpatei Tzidkacha is like a furtherance of that recognition that not only am I not there and like that's okay, but like that's like the divine will, like in a sense, meaning like I'm human and when he gets to like that point where he's like recognizing that like this is tzedek,
yeah,
right? Then he'll praise God with like a full, like, you know, with like uprightness of heart is like without like holding back, and he's like, you know what, I recognize that this is true and like this is good and like God is tzedek and mishpat and yeah.
Okay. You don't look so confident. Explain to me one more time how it what the flow is, mm-hmm. If you can.
Yeah. Can you scroll down a little bit? So I can see the rest of it. I guess I'm really like trying to pull something out of this havina of like lack of uprightness, so
yeah.
Like, not Yosher Lev.
Yeah.
So I guess that's where I'm kind of like trying to
right
get it in with and say that like there's still a difference between It's like we're saying, I'm doing like one, two, like there's still something else when you get your entire like being into it.
Mm.
But the only problem, like I learned the judgment
yeah, okay.
of righteousness, like I don't know.
Yeah. All right. So I got something on that. Yeah, Yosef?
Maybe part of what he was davening for before when he's asking for like help, like making the right decisions, like maybe he's also asking for his emotions to be in line with reality a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, Yesher Lev means that he's not conflicted when he thinks God.
Okay.
Meaning that it's not that the thankful, you could thank God intellectually, right? You could say, I realize this is good for my Tzad Malkim. It was painful, but I appreciate it. But no, this is like he appreciates it completely with his full existence.
Yeah. Okay, that's a good interpretation, Yosher Levav. So just to state the difference between what Isaiah and Yosef were saying, Isaiah was saying Yosher Levav is like accurate knowledge. And Yosef is saying it's like emotions in line with your knowledge. And
I think I'm saying more like Yosef.
Okay.
And I was trying to work in the Mishpatim.
Yeah. So I'm gonna throw my observation onto the pile, and I realize that I'm gonna point out something which is either going to be an advantage because it fits into the puzzle really well, or a disadvantage because it doesn't fit into the cluster. Which is, you notice that this is the first time he's talked about learning.
Yeah.
Right. So the implication is like everything else, not just the implication, the actual. Okay, fine. Either the overt statement or the implication is keeping the mitzvahs, right? Holchim, notzre, fa'alu, halachu, lishmor, and then the implication is I'm doing all your mitzvahs, right? Then he's saying learning. So what I want to try to say, which I don't have a full idea worked out, is 1 through 6 is talking about like five and six is really talking about him, you know, asking God to assist him, okay? But then in 7, he's recognizing that the very process of learning about the righteousness of the mitzvos is something that has value on its own, that it will allow him to praise God. And it itself, oh, here we go, got it. It itself is a source of Yedias Hashem. Mm-hmm. That's Odecha B'Yosher Levav. In other words, you could conceive of a thing where, conceive of a system where the mitzvos have no ideational value. It's just that doing them like gives you, will lead you to knowledge of God. Okay. Like, let's say, for example, like a mitzvah that is, I mean, there are mitzvahs that have ideational value, but let's say like Sibur Yitzis Mitzrayim or like, you know, Yichud Hashem or whatever, you know, fine. Those mitzvahs like are, you know, will give you knowledge of God, which is directly in line with Pasuk 2. But like if the other mitzvahs were just behavioral, not necessarily the case. But the thing that makes mitzvahs special is that they are mishpatei tzivkecha, and therefore when you learn about them, that helps you to appreciate God's, that gives you Yedias Hashem as well. So along the way, he's going to be moving towards this goal of b'chol lev yidrashuhu, even in his learning of the mitzvahs, not just in his doing of the mitzvahs.
So I mean, the halving would be that you like get to the destination today and then you turn around and go, oh, I'm here. I have a Yedias Hashem.
Yeah.
Now I'm happy.
Like, right.
I'm at the top of the mountain.
And this is saying
every step, like up the mountain.
Every step of the way that I'm learning about it, then I'm also increasing my Yedias Hashem. Yeah. Yeah. Now the thing that's slightly lacking maybe is it doesn't quite fit the flow. But then again, to be fair, it doesn't say Oz again, you know, like, yeah.
Well, I think it works with 8 though.
Okay, let's do 8 then.
8 seems to be the top of the mountain.
Es chukecha eshmor. I will keep your chukim, which I think the way we're saying it is that someone said this last time. It's a parallel to Dalet. Yeah, right. Al ta'azveni ad ma'od. Don't abandon me exceedingly. And what were you going to say for 8?
I was going to say, especially the first half, right? We're saying that 7 is like, is looking back at every step and recognizing God.
Mm-hmm.
Then your statutes, I will guard. I don't know if I could parallel with that. Not with the end of 4, that like to you commanded your precepts to be guarded, right? To guard, but maybe I will. Like, that's like the level.
You don't have to filibuster here.
That's like the level. Like, I don't know. In my mind, it's just like he's at the top of the mountain. Now he's doing the goal.
But he is asking for one more thing, though. All Taz mean on mode, right? Yeah.
What's on mode? Like, why? Yeah. That's so strange to me. Why?
Yeah, grammatically, it sounds funny, right? Let me show you a couple of ways that they take it here. Yeah, Matsuyas says on Adma O, and that's Sporno. Matsuyas David, I guess, is Adma Ode. Who hafuk ilu amar es ukecha es mor Adma Ode. It's reversed. It's if he says, your chukim I will keep exceedingly, or keep a lot. So don't abandon me, meaning there shouldn't be anything that is an obstacle to me. Okay, hold on. Someone else said something else. Yeah. So the rid, by the way, says forever. Okay, I don't know if that helps. Yeah, a lot of them are saying that it goes on chukecha. Like, I will keep your chukim exceedingly. Do not abandon me.
But why? Like, if he's saying that I'll keep the mitzvahs, right?
Yeah.
Why is he now davening that God shouldn't abandon him, right? Like, that seems like the relationship, right? You keep the mitzvahs, God doesn't leave you. So, like, why would you put those two in the same statement if you're, like, if the normal way the hashgacha works is that do this, get this.
Right. I think Sforno is addressing that question. Let's just read this Sforno again with that question in mind. He said, "Eschukacha eshmor b'chol lev. I will guard your chukim with my entire heart." Oz, then, let's see. He's good at adding in Oz's. Right. You can pull that move. Oz al tazveni ad ma'od. Then do not abandon me exceedingly. Even though fear of heaven is not in your God's hands, because you've already given bechira, do not entirely abandon me. Footnote guy says, that's why it says ma'od. Okay, ure'e Rav Avram ben Ezra. So yeah, Sforno is Davka not taking the approach of the other ones. Aval tain eze ezer v'hatayla hatos levavi elacha, but give some help and inclination to incline my heart towards you. So I think what he's saying is, I realize, so it's true Yosef is saying that the way Hashgacha works is the more you align yourself with God's will, then the more he'll help you. But David Melch is not an arrogant fool to think that God is just going to like give him a free ride, you know, because he's been acknowledging his shortcomings up until now. Mm-hmm. So he's saying, okay, fine. I understand that, like, I'm not going to get Magin Avraham level of Hashgacha here, you know, but I don't want to. Yeah. I mean, that's the highest level, right? I mean, Magin Avraham, where God is like shielding you from all possible, like, to, you know, obstacles, you know, but he's saying, I want some assistance because I need it, you know, and my bechir is not enough. So it's like a humble way of asking for God to help him, acknowledging like the tremendous, like, undeservedness that he has. Mm-hmm. In other words, saying to God, like, help me, is much, much more brazen than saying, don't totally abandon me. Mm-hmm. Don't totally abandon me. Recognize that you're really not worthy of his help, but you're desperate and you need it. And therefore, like, you know, he's saying, don't abandon me exceedingly.
Yeah. And I think it's also like worth mentioning that as at the end of the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
He's gone to the top. He's at least the way I'm thinking about it. Yeah, he's gotten to the top and he's guarding this. I mean, at this point, he's guarding the statues. I mean, unless you want to say that.
I think all of this is aspirational because he's not saying what he has achieved. He's saying what he is longing for.
So he's saying that the second half of 8 is talking in the present.
Yes, so, in the present. Right. So let's just summarize this because we're about towards the end.
I'm just a little bit confused. That, what was the answer to the last question? I just got lost.
Yeah. So let me hit it on the way on the summary. So 5 is now that I have expressed what the ideal is. Thereby demonstrating that I value those ideals, I ask Hashem to ready me, okay, either to set up circumstances to allow me to achieve this, or to facilitate my exercise of Bahira. Of Bahira. Yes. Yeah. That was what I was saying, is one thing is, you know, external circumstances. The other is that I might not even be like able to choose correctly if I'm weighed down by like the stresses of life or whatever.
Something,
you know,
about circumstances.
No, it's, well, it's, if you want to put it, it's external circumstances and internal circumstances. Yeah. And what was the second half of it? Lishmor Chukecha, right. To be able to implement 1 through 4. Okay, that's 5. Okay, 6 is
Then comma, I guess, when I fall short
all of my after giving it my all and being Ms. Palel for assistance, then even if I fall short, I won't be ashamed.
That's what? That's like, well, also,
To look at these mitzvahs.
Or to acknowledge the truth of them.
Yeah, at these mitzvahs for what they are.
Yeah.
Okay, then I'm going to type mine also. My interpretation was alternatively. If you don't achieve the end that these mitzvahs are, this is going to be a bad sentence, means towards, then that's worthy of being ashamed. Yeah. Okay, fine. But I like it was better. And then 7 is even, even right, not just in keeping the mitzvos, but even in learning the mitzvos, I increase my yedias Hashem and become better able to give hoda'ah to him, right? And that's it's like, you know, it's almost like if you are, no, it's not, never mind. Okay, and then the last one is I mean, or we're essentially saying that the first half is like the summary, right? Yeah, yeah. Is, and especially according to the Radak and those who say that it's Eshmor Ma'od, right? I will keep your mitzvos at this level. Okay, then what I'm saying is, and although I recognize that I'm not deserving of an exceedingly high level of hashgacha, don't abandon me entirely, but rather give me some assistance. Yeah, so that's the that was what I was saying, Yosef. The Al Tazim Ode is a much, much more humble way to say, like help me out. Yeah, like make me succeed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, good. So the cool thing about this, by the way, is I think, again, we don't know because we haven't learned the rest of this. I think you could say this as a independent tefillah, just these 8 tzukim, you know, in terms of your, you know, your mitzvahs. And by the way, I this is not officially sanctioned by any halachic authority, but I can't imagine that it would be prohibited. You know you're allowed to say Bakashas and Shemona Esrei, mm-hmm. right? If you understand this, why not in your Chonin Hadas, for example, say, like you're allowed to say your own bakashos. So certainly using the lashon of David. Now again, the problem would be if you made it into a fixed like part of your tefillah, then you're adding to tefillah. But I'm saying like if you feel you know, the move to ask for something, and you know of something we've learned in Tehillim that like perfectly expresses it, then it's actually, I think it's actually better, I think, for you to use David Melch's formulation than this one. Yeah. Okay, good. So it's a good year of Tehillim learning, and we'll see what we do when we come back. If we do Tehillim or switch back to Tefillah. I mean, year one was mostly, was a lot of Tefillah for the first half. We switched to Tehillim and we've been on that for a while. So we'll see. All right, thank you guys for coming every or almost every time. It's a good crew. Good crew.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. All right. Good night. Bye.
If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/RabbiSchneeWeiss. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweiss Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is at Matt-Schneeweiss, and my Zelle/Chase QuickPay and PayPal are MattSchneeweiss@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor an article, shiur, or podcast episode, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at RabbiSchneeweiss@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening, thank you to my readers for reading, and thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.